the book of Jude. And don't be disappointed. I hope you won't be that you're not hearing a Father's Day message. Because as I was praying about this almost a month ago, probably a little longer, I happened upon a thought from a Days of Praise that just wouldn't leave my mind or heart. And so I prayed, Lord, I don't see a Father's Day message in this. And David switched my week, and he wanted me to, David Dunlap switched my week, and he wanted me to speak this week. And typically back at the home assembly when we were in fellowship there at Cheshire, I seem to be the elder who was elected to give the Father's Day messages. I don't know why, but anyway, I said, I don't see a Father's Day message here. Then last week I came to the chapel. We had a wonderful worship meeting like we did today. And guess what David spoke on? Father's Day. I said, thank you, Lord, for confirming that. So if you need to hear a Father's Day message, I'm sure the CD is available. Okay? But today the thought upon my heart was one that was brought to me by a Days of Praise back May 22nd, just a month ago. And the thought there by the writer was contending for the faith. In fact, the exact title of the Days of Praise, if you want to go back and look it up, was Build Yourself Up, Build Yourself Up. And not building ourselves up in ourself, but in our most holy faith. So with that thought in mind, and as you look at just a few verses with me in Jude, we're not going to look at the whole of Jude here, although it's just one chapter. We're going to look at specific verses because I realize as you look and you realize that Jude was written, and as the Scofield says, to those that were threatening the church, Jude was warning and urging the readers to contend earnestly for the faith because of false teachers that have come in. That's not the thought I would like to convey this morning, although that's the thought of this chapter. I'd like to pull from this chapter with the help of the Lord some thoughts of encouragement. And so the thought upon my heart is, what does it mean for us to contend for the faith? It's just a couple weeks ago, and we heard similar thoughts from our brother Lindsay. So we'd like to look at Jude, and in Jude we'll look at the first four verses, so you kind of know ahead of time where we'll be reading, verses 1 through 4 with the help of the Lord. And then we'll look at the closing two sections of Jude, and that would be found in verses 17 through the end of the chapter. And so the thought with building yourself up in the Lord in our most holy faith. And we'd like to look at specific words here. So as you're reading, I'd like to kind of prepare as we read so you could be looking at the words, so maybe they'll jump out at Scripture for you like they did for me. The word beloved is mentioned a few times here. The word beloved, and we'll make some comments about beloved, but as you're reading, look for that word beloved, because we are the beloved of God. Okay, enough said. Jude, verses 1 through 4 and 17 to the end of the chapter. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons, and this is the section that begins where that he starts talking about the rebellion, the false teachers, those that were complainers and grumblers. But we'll just read this verse for connection. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now pass your eyes down to verse 17. And I just want, as a preface, I wanted to say I'm not skipping the Word of God, but I certainly don't see any of those ones that are described here, so we're not talking about that today. Does that make sense? Say amen if you understand. Okay, so verse 17 then, to be encouraging in the message, but you, beloved, there it is again, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, quote, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These were the ones who caused divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Verse 20, there it is again, brothers and sisters. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And then finally, as Scofield brings out in 24 and 25, Jude closes with this doxology, and he writes to them and, of course, to us, brothers and sisters. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now, and forevermore. Amen. Amen? Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the preciousness of your word, and through your Holy Spirit, what you desire to reveal to our hearts. As we, the men this morning, were examining and thinking about the unsearchable riches in Christ that we have. And so, Father, we pray in the words of another that we would see you would take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses and show them unto us. We just commit ourselves now to you as we explore your unsearchable riches and your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, carrying on with the thought that days of praise encourage my heart to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And this repeating over and over here just really got to me of the word beloved, of the word beloved. And I thought of John. John was the beloved, wasn't he? He was the beloved. John the beloved. And you know, we're the beloved. We are the church is the beloved of God. And because why? Christ gave his blood for us. And it, just as I like pictures. I know there's a few brothers who like pictures here. I'm learning word pictures. And I could see, can you see John leaning his head on the breast of Jesus? Can you? And then think about it. As he did so, and this is something someone else once said, he heard the heartbeat of God. And so it is with us, beloved, that we too can be, we are the beloved of God. We can be leaning on the breast of our Jesus by faith. And through his word, we hear the heartbeat of God. Amen? And that's most precious. And that's what the thought of contending for our faith and building ourselves up in our most holy faith is about. Now, I love the expression beloved of God, and I don't want to go too much into that, but I want to just share with you three things that we can think about, and not only think about, but with the Holy Spirit's help, implement in our life, with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are the beloved of God, and we are, then we need to earnestly contend for the faith in our day-to-day life, just as our brother Lindsay a few weeks ago was encouraging us to do. And we need to pray. This is going to be found here in the latter part of the chapter. Pray in the Holy Spirit. So we'll look at contending for the faith in our day-to-day. We'll look at a little bit briefly of praying in the Holy Spirit. And then, as Jude writes, we'll keep ourselves in the love of God. So just those three things I'd like to explore with you briefly today. First, contending earnestly for the faith in our day-to-day life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel that my heart spiritually is weak. I do. I look at others. We were visited this past week by Mary Beth and her sister Donna's brother and Jim and Ruth's son, Jimmy. And I look at the life of my brother-in-law, And I say, wow, what a young man. He's still in his 50s. His 50s is young, right? And I say, what a godly young man. I remember when I was first dating Mary Beth about 41, 42 years ago. I remember Jimmy then, and I see Jimmy now. And I said, and all I can say is, you know, it's Father's Day. What a godly father, what a godly man that he is. And I look at that, and I think sometimes to my own self, how weak at times I feel my heart is. I don't know if you ever feel that way. Maybe that's just Satan discouraging us, or maybe it's just looking at our mortality and our own thinking. But then I think about weakness, and I also think of wandering mind. Does my mind wander? It does sometimes. Even when I'm reading Scripture, my mind wanders. But, you know, we're commended to contend earnestly for the faith. I love the way Jude begins his writing. If you look with me again to verse number 1. Jude, a bondservant. And who does that remind you of? Doesn't that remind you of men like Paul? Excuse me. But Paul would say the same sort of thing as he opened up his epistles. And James and Peter and Titus, a slave for Jesus. A slave for Jesus. And then I started thinking about a slave or a servant. And what do they do? I'm talking about contending for our faith now. What does a slave do? It obeys his master. And a servant desires to please his master. Because a servant knows what delights his master. Please, obey, and delight. Brothers and sisters, it was Jesus Christ, and is Jesus Christ, who sanctified us to God, who redeemed us by his blood, who calls us to holy living day by day in our lives. And as I said just a few weeks ago, Lindsay challenged us to strive against difficulties and to contend for the faith, and he brought out some beautiful thoughts. The more we share Christ, almost the easier it becomes? Do you know what I'm saying? The more we look for opportunities to share our faith, the more the Holy Spirit presents that opportunity. God presents that opportunity, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. Whether it's at home with the children and someone comes and visits, or it's at workplace, or it's just in the Pickwick or Publix or whatever you have around here, and you're in the line there, or at the restaurant with the waiter or waitress or wherever. When we look for opportunities, God presents those opportunities, contending for the faith in our day-to-day life. And so, I'd like you to keep your finger here, a bookmark or something or other, and turn with me, please, to one of my favorite books that Paul wrote, and that's the book of Philippians. So would you keep your finger in Jude, please, and turn back to the book of Philippians. And in chapter number 1, what is the theme of Philippians? Can somebody tell me? The theme of spiritual joy, right? Talks about the Christian experience in Philippians. Amen? Okay, just seeing if you're paying attention. Chapter 1, I'd like you to look, please, at verse 27 through verse 30. And the question I ask my heart, I ask you this morning as well. How do we address our conflicts? How do we address those things that come into our life as we prepare to go out and witness, as we contend for the faith in our day-to-day life, and then conflicts come in, whether they're spiritual conflicts, like we feel we have a weak heart, and I don't mean the physical one that's beating in us, or we have a wandering mind, or we have distractions. Those might be conflicts, or it might be a health conflict, or it might be conflicts within our own family, that maybe some are unbelieving in our own family. How do we address those conflicts? How is our conduct as we address those conflicts? We're in Philippians 1 now, verse 27, and Paul is encouraging us to do this. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I could stop right there. There's so much there. Conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come, he writes to them, and see you or remain absent, here's the main point you might want to underline if you do that sort of thing in your Bible. I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Standing together firm in one spirit and one mind. And just a little aside, I was sharing with David the other day, one of the things that we observe as a family, as we come in fellowship among you and with you, is the unity of the believers in this assembly. That is a wonderful thing. That brings tremendous glory to God, that there is such unity with one another and with the Lord, striving together. And we see that very clearly here at Land O'Lakes. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 28, Paul goes on, and in no way alarmed by your opponents, and this is what I would consider maybe our conflicts, whatever they might be, you know, they're different for each one of us, right? Which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For, verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. We know very little about real hardships and conflicts like they do in foreign countries, right? Yes. And many of you have, perhaps some of you have mothers and fathers who are missionaries, or others are related to missionaries. We have a son who's a missionary, as you know. And the conflicts out in the mission field are unbelievable, unbelievable. But the power of God is also, when I say unbelievable, you know, it's not something we seem to experience here like they do there. And so the thought of conflict comes in. So spiritual joy is the theme of Philippians. But you know what people will gauge? They will gauge our love for Christ by how they see you and I handle conflicts, whatever they might be, won't they? The unbelieving world will look at us and say, wow, look at the way they handled that particular conflict in their life, whether it's a health conflict or whatever it might be. They will gauge our spirituality by that, the depth of what we really believe. And so Paul said in Philippians 1 there, that we can speak hurtful words or we can speak helpful words, both not just in our own home, but in the sphere in where God has us operating. And so the thought before us today of contending earnestly for the faith, it involves our whole being. It involves our attitude. It involves the actions of our mouth even, so that we speak healthy words and not hurtful words. And so I ask myself this question, and I'll ask you today too. Are we contending earnestly for the faith, especially in our day-to-day lives? This contending earnestly for the faith carries with it this business of what? Of standing firm. And standing firm in one spirit as well, which we see here at Land O'Lakes and we're thankful for. Being in unity with one another is part of that. Being of one mind is part of that. And striving together for the faith that is in the gospel. And we were just reading about this too in the men's study, interestingly enough. It's not something for me to be, or for you to be, wishy-washy about, is it? Because again, we're being observed by the world. Holy living is not an option, is it? I'll say that again, because I request an answer. Holy living is not an option, is it? No. So in my Bible, I read it as a command. Be holy, for God says, I am holy. And so in my life, in my workplace, in my home, how am I doing with contending for the faith, with standing firm in the gospel? Move on to the second thing, and that is praying in the Spirit. Jude talks about this in verse 20. So turn back, please, to Jude and look at verse 20 with me. I have to confess to you, and maybe you find this in your own life, and we're in a hurry, and we seem to always be in a hurry, don't we? Life is like that. and we find ourselves at dinner time or lunch time in a hurry, and sometimes, I mean, I'm just being transparent here, we say a quick prayer. You don't have to nod your head. I've been there, done that. Let's just be honest. And sometimes when I'm done with that type of prayer, I think, well, that certainly was very repetitive, and I wonder if it made it past my ceiling in my home. And I think that to myself. And so praying in the Holy Spirit jumped out at me in this passage in Jude. But you, beloved, verse 20, but you, beloved, oh, also notice that. I love when you see, what's the grammatical word? Is there a, because I know I have a lot of grammar people here today. I was missing that year they taught grammar. When they say but, is that a, what's? It's a conjunction. So there's a lot of conjunctions in the Word of God, and I love them. But God, if any of you guys, you know, do Bible searches, phrase searches, like I love to do, I like to look at phrase searches in the Bible or word searches. Look at but God. Put quotes on that. Go to your Bible program and look at how many times. That's an interesting study, as you were talking about the mysteries, brother, as an interesting study. And then look at but you or but thou, depending on which Bible version you're using. But you, beloved, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, in your most holy faith. Oh, no, wait. Let's read it the right way. It says building yourself up on. How does your Bible read? On your most holy faith. Because faith is something that we receive from God. It's not my faith, is it? We say that, but it really isn't my faith, is it? It's God imparting that faith to me. Right? But you, beloved, loved one of God, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I stopped right there when I was reading this and I said, shame on me, David. I thought to myself at that moment as I was studying for this message that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. What does the name Christ mean? Anointed of God. We have one who is anointed of God, who is at his right hand, who stands in a place of supreme authority, who is, there's none higher than him, and he stands there 24/7, 365, and he's never sleeping, and the line's never busy. And I thought what a difference it would make when I pray, even to give thanks for lunch in a hurry, if I prayed earnestly in the Spirit. In the Spirit, contending for the faith day to day and praying in the Spirit is a huge, huge part of that. When we pray, especially when we pray unhindered prayers, do you know what I mean by unhindered prayers? Where we have not grieved the Holy Spirit of God, because we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, unconfessed sin, grieve the Holy Spirit of God, right? But what a difference when we pray in the Holy Spirit. And you know what I mean. And sometimes you pray and you're praying in the Spirit and so many people come to mind. It is amazing. It is a Holy Spirit thing, I call that. I love the hymn by James Montgomery that reads, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer is the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. The saints, and I love this part of the verse, the saints in prayer appear as one in word and deed and mind, while with the Father and the Son, sweet fellowship they find. Don't you love that? When God's looking down from heaven, and we're here praying, we're here worshiping, he sees us as one, as his beloved. O thou by whom we come to God, the life the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself has trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so we look at contending for the faith in our day-to-day life. We look at praying in the Spirit. And finally, our last look is, let's go back to Jude again, and starting at verse 17. I'm going to read this section over, because I know that there's some things that the Holy Spirit will allow to jump out at Scripture. Maybe you'll want to write a note down, or maybe you'll want to underline your Bible, or just if you're young and you have really good memory like I don't, you will remember it from maybe this afternoon or tomorrow when you spend some time in God's Word. So let's read it again, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be mockers following their own lusts. And these are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. We're living in that era, brothers and sisters, are we not? We're living in that era. But you, beloved, verse 20, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forevermore. We have been granted, brothers and sisters, we have been granted God's mercy and his peace and his love, inexpressible. Inexpressible. We have been granted God's mercy, God's peace, and God's love, inexpressible and unfathomable as his riches that we studied about today in the men's study. So we should be able to show or demonstrate in our lives, contending for the faith in our everyday life, demonstrate in our lives his mercy to others. Amen? Demonstrate his mercy to others and tell them of God's peace and of God's love, keeping ourselves in the love of God. This expression, but you, beloved, is mentioned twice. It's seen in verse 17. It's seen in verse 20. But you, beloved, or dear ones, be mindful of what you have been taught in the past. And what that reminded me of is this. And I think probably looking over the audience, a good percentage of you brothers and sisters can relate to what I'm about to say. Maybe a good percentage of us were brought up with a Bible in the home, with godly parent or parents, one with a missionary parents. And we were taught the things of God from a young age, from as young as I can remember, going to Sunday school, being taught about the Savior. What a tremendous privilege for those of us that have had that. Remember their words of instruction. You know, the older we get, they say, the less we remember. But the things we really want to remember are the things of God. Amen? And so Jude is saying, remember, verse 17, the words that were spoken to you beforehand. So as by way of application, when we were younger, we were taught. I remember in the gospel hall where my father-in-law was an elder there, these sisters who used to do the flannel board. Does anybody remember what a flannel board was? Probably the same people who remember what a typewriter was. But the sisters used a flannel board to show us about Jesus and to demonstrate who he was. But you, beloved, remember. Remember. How? By praying in the Spirit, unhindered prayers. By keeping ourselves in the love of God. By waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And so Titus says, don't turn there, just listen. Titus, please. Titus says, looking for the blessed hope that is ours, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ also will appear a second time for salvation to those who eagerly await him. And in 2 Peter 3:12 we read, looking for and hastening the coming day of God. May God help us to be faithful as we contend for the faith, as we share Christ with those we meet. Keep praying, brothers and sisters. God will put people in your life. He will put people in your life. And the Holy Spirit, if you're in the Word of God, will equip you to share with them. To share with them. I have time for a quick story, I think. I'm going to share this with you. I may have shared this before, I may not. But I was working years ago. We were living in Plymouth, I think, at the time, which was a good, 40-minute commute from a jewelry store I worked at in Cheshire, Connecticut. That's how the Lord led us to the chapel there, by the way. He put that chapel right in the way, you know. I went by it every day. What's that? What's a Bible chapel? And I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts in the morning to get a cup of coffee. I got out of the car. I went inside. I got a cup of coffee. And I'm coming out. As I was getting out of the car, I noticed the plates of the car next to me were from Pennsylvania. And they were just getting out of their car, too. And I just said, traveling, are you traveling from Pennsylvania or to? Yes, we're going back home. I says, oh, that's good. It's a nice state. I says, we go to a Bible conference there at Greenwood Hills. And then that's all I said. And they said, have a nice day. I went inside and I got my coffee, came out to the car, and I sat down. And do you ever get an, I call it a urging, a nudging from the Spirit of God to do something that's really, really, you should do this, David. You better do this now. And that's what I felt, because I keep tracks in the side compartment of my car. And so I grab the tracks and I look through a track, try to find one that they're all appropriate, but I try to find one I thought appropriate. And I sat there and I was just ready to start the car. And I said, they're back in their car now with their to-go order. And I thought, I better give this to them. I should give this to them. But let's see, do I have time? I got to go to work, but I should get. And I went to reach for the key, and it was almost like the Holy Spirit says, no, you go ahead and do that. And so I prayed. I opened the door. And where I was sitting in the car door, it was on her side of the door. So her window was down. So I said, I just want to share something with you before you have some time reading to travel from Connecticut to Pennsylvania. I want to share something of the love of God with you. So I'd like, and as I'm saying this, he gets out of the car. And now, of course, my heart starts beating within me, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, conflict, you know. And he was a good sized guy, a little older, but he looked like he could probably take me down. And so he's walking around the car, and I'm getting real nervous, you know. And she took the track. And he comes over to the car and says, oh, what's that, young man? And so she handed it back to me, and I showed it to him. And he said, he looks it over, you know, good news track. Hands it back to his wife, smiles at me. He said, thank you very much. You must be a Christian. You must be a born-again Christian. I was speechless. Yes, I am. He says, that's great. I said, well, I got to tell you, I was sitting here and the Holy Spirit just really urged me to hand you this track, but I guess you don't need it. No, he said, you learned a lesson today. God was teaching you a lesson over your coffee. I said, he was? He said, he was. He said, you know what your lesson was? And I couldn't think because my heart was still going like this in my... I said, no, I don't know what my lesson was. He says, never quench the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you know it's the Holy Spirit, never quench the Spirit of God. And so you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith and look for opportunities to share. Pray in the Spirit. In other words, pray as guided by the Spirit and in accordance with the will of God, not reciting mechanical prayers like we sometimes do, sad to say, but praying fervently, building ourselves up by studying God's word, by obeying God's word. That's what a slave does, a servant does, right? Delights to please his master by sharing with one another. What better thing I can think of? I can't think of a better thing than when we find something in God's word, brothers and sisters, and we can't wait to share that with somebody else. And in this world we live in, we can text them. You know, in the days of Underwood typewriters, we couldn't text anything. We were lucky we could find where the letters were. We can text someone now, and they can get it, and when they're on their break, they can read it and say, oh, I think I'll look at that passage. That's wonderful. So we build ourselves, and we build one another in our faith by studying God's word, by obeying God's word, by sharing with one another as the Holy Spirit reveals to us. We love this expression. Iron sharpens iron, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? Iron sharpens iron. Keeping ourselves in the love of God by staying close to the Lord, by living our lives in such a way that even with our conversation, they know that we're Christians in our own household and in the world. And by leaning on the breast of Jesus, spiritually speaking, so that we might hear the heartbeat of God. May God encourage your heart today. I hope that while it wasn't a Father's Day message, men, that it was a message for all fathers and all mothers too, that we would be what God would want us to be, people that contend for the faith, that pray in the Spirit, that live in the love of the Lord, and that we continue in unity as we see in this assembly here, and we are so encouraged by, that we might contend together and work together for that which is before us. And the coming of the Lord is soon, and we will be with him for all eternity, and we'll be sharing eternity together. Time without end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that the simple thoughts that were expressed would become more profound as your Holy Spirit reveals the deeper truths of the Our God to the hearts of all of us. And so, Father, as we leave this place today, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to contend for the faith in our day-to-day life. Help us, Father, even as we pray, to pray more fervently and pray in unity and pray so that we don't grieve in our lives the Holy Spirit and that we obey the Holy Spirit's prompting in our lives and that we live our lives as those who can hear your heartbeat, O God. Thank you for being the God, the Abba Father that we were worshiping this morning, the God of all eternity, and that you are our God. We give you thanks and we thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Bless each one here today, those that are not with us, a special blessing and safety as they travel home soon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.